Well, good morning. Welcome to our 10 o'clock service. Those of you early and those who are late, we're glad you're here. It's good to have the house full and just kind of get to see people that, you know, you haven't seen. And anyway, this morning, I want to continue our series on No Easy Faith. And I just want to talk a little bit about that today. You know, faith is not easy, but faith is what sustains us. Faith is what we live on and walk in. And so that's what I want us to talk about this morning. And I'm going to begin in Matthew, and then we'll just move through. So let's put that first scripture up. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." The word desire there, if anyone desires to come after me. You know, faith is something you have to desire. And to follow Jesus, it's something you have to desire. It doesn't come natural. You need to desire. And he says, whomever, if anyone desires to come after me, meaning to follow him, let him deny self. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, that scripture right there tells us that there's no easy faith. Because to follow Jesus, you have to have a desire to, but you also have to give up something. You have to give up self. He says, whoever, if anyone desires to come after me, to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny self. That's what we have to do to follow Jesus. We have to deny self because you can't follow two people going in different directions. And if you're going to follow Jesus, then you have to deny self, because self is going to go in one direction and Jesus is going to go in another. And so you can only follow one person at a time. And he says, if anyone desires, do you have a desire to follow Jesus? Now we're sitting in church and everybody says, yes, absolutely, I have a desire to follow Jesus. Well, what about Monday through Saturday? Does that desire hold? Do you have that desire to follow Jesus when he says, give up, leave that behind, let go of that, leave it all there, don't go that way, go this way? Does the desire, is it still strong? Is it still with you? See, if anyone desires to follow me, he says, you must deny yourself. That means you got to give up something. You got to give up self. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Give up self. We have to do that. Well, it means that you have to make a choice. You choose his way. You choose his desire versus your desire. And that's called sacrifice. And we do not like sacrifice. Do we? We don't like sacrifice. But you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to deny your desires, your wants, your needs, your pleasures sometimes, to follow him. He says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now let's look at that for a minute. Whoever desires to save his life. If you want the things of the world, if you want things your way all the time, if you want everything you want and the way you want it, well, not only will you have conflict with other people around you, but you're going to have conflict with him. He says, whoever desires to save his life, and that means live for yourself. Whoever desires to live for himself, you're going to lose your life. You're going to lose it. What does that mean? That means you may live for yourself, and you may have the temporary pleasures and promises of the world, but in the end, you're not going to have any life. You're going to lose your life. Because life, Jesus intends for life to be eternal. And so whoever loses his life for my sake, whoever, while we're here living on this earth, gives up the things that we want for what he wants, and don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying we got to just give everything away and live as poor paupers. That's not what he means. He's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about your spiritual desire. Whoever loses his life, in other words, whoever puts Jesus first will have life. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When you give up, when you deny yourself and you choose to follow him, you're going to find out what real life is about. You'll find out what real life is, because the life that the world offers, the life that we see splashed in our face and our ears all the time, every day, through every kind of media and what have you, that's not real life. That's temporary. That's, what's the word I'm looking for? It's fake. It's fake. It's a fake life. It's not reality. Oh, well, you can live in it for a while, but in your spirit, it's false. It's deception, and you'll end up empty. You'll end up empty. So, you guys want to hear something funny? I left my outline on my desk. Well, you have a sense of humor. It's sick sense of humor, but it's a sense of humor. Next scripture, so I know where I'm going. I'm going to test the tech team this morning. So, Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Well, we're there. Let me just finish up with that. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and everything it offers, and all the temporary pleasure? What does it profit him if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, we read in the Bible, one man gave his soul for a bowl of soup because he was hungry, and his appetite, his flesh, overwhelmed him to the point where he was willing to give up his soul. What are you willing to give up to find your life? What are you not willing to give up that will cost you your life? What profit is it if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And you see, that's the majority. That's the majority. And yes, they're even sitting in church. Because we can come to church and sit in church and sing a few songs and listen to a sermon and think, I'm good, then go right back to the world and embrace the world as soon as you leave here. You see, he said, whoever desires to follow me must deny himself. There's a cost to following Jesus. There's a cost to following Jesus. John chapter 12. Verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus is speaking, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You see, Jesus wasn't playing around. He was serious. He says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, unless a seed dies, it remains alone. But when it dies and is buried, it produces much fruit. It produces much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it. Now, you're probably thinking, oh, Pastor, we're supposed to love life. Read it again. Whoever loves his life. And what Jesus is saying there, whoever loves his life more than me is going to lose his life. When you love your life more than Jesus, you're going to lose your life. He who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life in this world, and the word hate there means deny. Whoever denies his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You see those scriptures, how they connect? If you want to have eternal life, you have a choice. You can have life now and have it the way you want it, or you can have life in eternity and have it the way you need it and should have it. But you have to make a choice now. You see, we choose now. We choose to live for ourselves, or we choose to live for Jesus. That's the choice. And he makes it very clear. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. You see, he who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life, he who denies himself in this world, will have eternal life. And so that brings me to our main scripture today, which is in Galatians 2:20. It's familiar. We talked about it last week. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, in this world, I live by faith in the Son of God. Not faith in myself. Not faith in the world. Not faith in the government. Not faith in the bank. Not faith in welfare. I live by faith in the Son of God. That's Jesus. You see, Paul was saying the only way to live a real life is to live it by faith in Jesus. That means trusting Jesus for your needs. Trust in Jesus for your protection. Now, it doesn't mean do away with common sense. We have a responsibility to do some things and take particular steps in life. But the foundation is, who is your faith in? Is it faith in your ability? Is it in faith in others to provide or protect or to meet your needs? Or is it faith in Jesus to give you what you need? You see, that requires trust. It requires trust. The life I now live in the flesh, in this body, in this world, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved you and he gave himself for you so that you would live by faith in him. And if you're going to have eternal life, it only comes through faith in him. That's why there's so much written about that you must deny yourself to follow him. That's why if you love your life in this world, you're going to lose it. You can't love the world and love Jesus. You can't serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other. Well, I'd never hate Jesus. Well, he's real clear in the Bible. He says, you're either for me or against me. And if you love the world and you embrace the world and that you live your life in the world, the truth is, you're denying him. That's hatred toward him. The word says friendship with the world is hatred toward God. You can't have it both ways. This is not Burger King. You can't have it your way. You know, we laugh at some of those slogans, but isn't that what we do? We want to have it. I want it my way. I'll follow Jesus as long as I can have it my way. I'll come to church when it's convenient, once or twice a month maybe. I'll throw a few change at him. I'll tip him. I won't tithe, but I'll tip him. I won't deny self, but I'll try to hold his hand and hold the world's hand. It doesn't work. And it not only does it not work, it's so much better when you let go of the world and you take hold of him. Because you know what? The world and people are going to disappoint you every day. I'm going to disappoint you. Others are going to disappoint you. But Jesus does not disappoint you. And that's why he said, deny yourself if you desire to follow me. Deny yourself. Because what I've got for you is going to do more than fluff you on the outside. It's going to give you something inside that the world can't give you, and that's peace and contentment. That's security. That's security that all the law enforcement in the world can't give you. Thank God for law enforcement. Thank God for first responders. Thank God for doctors. But when it all boils down to it, Jesus is the only, you got, if you don't have Jesus, none of them can help you. None of them can give you life. They might keep your body going for a little while and breathing, but they can't give you life. Only Jesus can give you life. And he says, and give it to the full. An abundant life. You see, we think of an abundant life as we got everything in life we want and need. He's not talking about material things. He's talking about your heart of hearts, your soul. That's where your peace and contentment is. And that's what he gives. That's the abundance. He'll give that in abundance. And that's why faith is not easy. We have to work at faith. We have to deny self in order for faith to grow. You want your faith to grow? Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Quit stunting your growth with the world, with the things of the world. Now, it's okay to have things. That's not what I'm talking about. Don't misrepresent what I'm saying. But when those things are ahead of him, you're losing it. You're losing it. You're losing life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. See, we only have one service today, so I don't have to be out here until 1:30 so the Spanish service can come in. So get comfortable. Just don't go to sleep. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. He who has died. Now, if verse 8, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall live with him. If we died with Christ, that means if you're saved, if you've died to self, you've been born again, you've received Christ as your Savior by faith, then you can live with him. But you see, too often, and too many in the church, too many Christians, They've died with Christ, but instead of living with him, they want to live for self. We want to live for self. And don't fool yourself. It's a natural tendency. It's the flesh. It's the fleshly desires. We have, by nature, we want to live for self. And that's why he says, you must deny yourself to follow me. That's why Galatians says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but he who lives in me. You see, that's a choice. You choose him, so you're crucified with him. You crucify the flesh, you die to self, you receive Christ as your Savior, and then you let him live in you and through you. You see, we try to do it on our own. We try to do all this religious stuff. You know, we play, we're on the worship team, we're ushering, we're serving in kids, we're greeting, we're doing this, we're going to Bible studies, we're doing all these things, but are we really letting him live in us? Are we living it our way? See, just because it's good doesn't mean it's of God. It's got to be of God. It's got to be his direction. It's got to be his leading. Otherwise, it's just religion. It's just religion. And a religious spirit can be so subtle, it can capture even the strongest Christian if we're not careful. You know, we just have to follow the Spirit of God. We have to follow the Spirit of God. He says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Death, he conquered death for us so that we could live. Because you see, those without Christ are dead spiritually. But once we deny self, once we're crucified with Christ, then we don't have to die anymore. We shouldn't have to die anymore. But we do, because we have to still live in this flesh until he comes back. So we have to slay the flesh every day. Remember I said last week, the first thing we have to do when our feet hit the floor is we need to die to self. Because if we don't, self's going to get in the way. And the truth is, we like self, don't we? We're kind of fond of ourselves, aren't we? Second Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. Why is that? Well, in chapter 4, in verse 18, it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The physical things that we see are temporary. But the spiritual things that we don't see with the eye are eternal, because we only see them in the Spirit because they're of the Spirit. And that's why he said, whoever saves his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, when we walk by faith and not by sight, then we can walk in the Spirit. He can live in us, and we can live with him. But you see, here's the battle in the flesh. We have a tendency, a natural tendency, to walk by sight. Walk by sight. And walking by sight is not just what we see, it's what we hear. The doctor says, It's done. You're done. It's over. So you receive that. That's walking by sight. But if you want to walk by faith, you say, okay, thank you, doctor, for doing all you can do. Now, doctor, Jesus still has me. That's walking by faith. You see, to deny self is to deny the flesh. To walk by faith and not by sight is to walk by what we know, not by what we see or hear. So, many of us have been told, some of you have been told you're from a very young age or at a young age, you're worthless. You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. And you've carried that with you for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And you see, that's walking in the flesh. That's walking by sight, not by faith. When the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. If you're a Christian, He has set you free from the curse of those words. And you're no longer, you're not who they said you would be, or you're not what they said you wouldn't be. You're who He says you are. He says you are who He says you can be through Him. All things are possible with God. Now, that the word all doesn't mean some things. It means all things. You say, well, what about people that die? Well, what about people that die? You don't think God knew that? If you're a Christian, praise the Lord. I mean, we don't want to lose loved ones. We don't want to die early. We don't get a choice of when we die. But just because someone gets a disease, gets sick, and dies doesn't mean Jesus hasn't worked in their life. See, sometimes, and you may disagree with me, but I've been through it too much with too many people, even family and in the church. But sometimes physical death is a blessing so that there's nothing but spiritual life. Because sometimes this physical life can be so miserable that physical death is a blessing. And I'm not wishing any of you die. But you understand what I'm saying. You see, we walk by sight, not by faith. Because sight is going to deceive us. What we see and what we hear from the world is deception. It deceives us. And it causes us to live our life not through Him, but through the flesh. And He doesn't want us to live our life through the flesh. Verse 14 in chapter 5. For the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ compels us. Everybody know what compel means? It means it urges us. It draws us. The love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, like this, that if one died for all, then all died. And the one is capitalized there, you'll see. One died for all, then all died. Jesus died for everyone. The worst person in the world you can think of right now, Jesus died for them. Jesus died for them. Well, how could you say that? I know some awful people that are doing awful things. What's the word say? The word says one died for all, right? Does all include everybody? Okay. You can't twist the word. You can argue with it all day long. But He died for everyone. He died for everyone. That if one died for all, then all died. All in order to receive Christ, you have to die. You have to die to self. You have to come to the point, like I did years ago, and say, I can't do this anymore. the way I'm managing my life, it's not working. You have to come to that point and say, okay, Jesus, here I am. You know, some of us get to the point where we got to get twisted in such a bad shape that we got to cry uncle. Well, Jesus is not uncle. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Lord. And all he wants you to do is to deny yourself, be crucified with him, so that he can give you new life. One died for all, then all died. Verse 15, and he died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves. Did you hear that? That's really what we've been talking about for the last 10 or 15 minutes. That those who live, meaning live in Jesus, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So if you want to live a true life, you want to live real life, you can't live for yourself. See, it's very clear here. Those who live can no longer live for themselves, but for him. So if you're living for Jesus, that means self's got to die. Self's got to get out of the way. I'm telling you, people, if you don't think that, I know you know it, or you fight it. This is the biggest, hardest fight about faith, is to get self out of the way, to deny self, to die to self, to stay crucified with Christ. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, our senses, our feelings, our emotions, our touch, our sight, our hearing, our taste. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no longer this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, here it is. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new what?
Creation.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's why it's called a new life in Christ. When you're crucified with Christ and you die to self, then you're raised. That's what baptism represents and illustrates. You're raised into a new life with him. New life with him. And he says, a new creation. In other words, that's why Jesus said you must be born again. Spiritually, you must be born again. You must be created again in a new life spiritually. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. That's why Jesus said, if anyone desires to follow me, he must deny himself. If old things are passed away, then you have to continue to deny old things. All things have become new. Everything with Christ is new. His mercies are new every morning, the Word says. And so, old things have passed away. Leave them there. Don't go back and pick them up. You see, sometimes he takes all these old things and he scatters them. And then what we do is we want to go pick them up again. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. What's become new? Your way of thinking, the way you see things, the way you hear things, the way you look at the world. Your worldview has become new if you're in Christ. You no longer see things the way you used to see them. You don't see people the way you used to see them. You guys with me? Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ. God has reconciled us to himself through Christ. Do you know what reconciled means? You see, before we're a Christian, we're dead spiritually. We're in a broken relationship. We don't have a relationship with God. But in Christ, we are reconciled to God. We come into a relationship through Christ with God. We're reconciled. We're made right with him. We're put in right relationship with him. Through Christ, we're put in a right relationship with God. And without Jesus, you're not in right relationship with God. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The church needs to get off its dead butt and start taking up its ministry that you've been given if you're a Christian. Now, you may not like me saying it like that. I don't care. It's the truth. I'm not being ugly. I'm being real. I'm being real. You, as a Christian, have been given the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean, Pastor? That means you have the ministry of bringing others to Jesus through your testimony, through your witness, through denying yourself and living for him and sharing him with others. Not being worried about, are they going to get mad or offended if I say something about Jesus? Time is short. I've got a big hourglass about this big. I wish I'd have brought it out here. I was going to set it up here and let you watch it run. Because that's literally what's happening right now in this life. Time is running out. The sand is running through. And we're still playing church. We're still playing church. We have one service today, and I can just glance through here and see 20 to 30 empty seats. Why? Because we have not accepted our ministry of reconciliation that as Christians we've been given. Because if the church was doing its job, we'd be having a hard time containing them in the building. And I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about souls. Souls. He said, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He's not only given you the ministry of reconciliation, he's committed to you the word of reconciliation. Do you know the word? Are you studying the word? Are you in the word so that you can give the word? Y'all thought this was going to be happy 4th of July sermon, didn't you? Well, July 4th is about freedom. July 4th is about freedom. And there's a whole bunch of us need to get set free so that we can take on our ministry of reconciliation. Everyone here knows somebody that's without Jesus. Do you realize where they're going if they die? Do you have any idea what hell is like? We think as hell is on earth. This is a cakewalk compared to what comes in the afterlife. Do you care where your relatives that are without Jesus are going? Do you care where your friends are going? Well, they don't want to listen to me. That's not your problem. You have the ministry of reconciliation. You have the obligation from Jesus, you've been given that to speak it, to speak truth, to sow seeds, to plant seeds. You don't bring the harvest anyway. He does. But if there's no seeds, there's no harvest. The word says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies. Have you died so that you can live with him? You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." We are ambassadors of Christ, as though God was making his appeal through us. He is making his appeal through you to a lost world, to lost loved ones and friends and relatives. And you know, sometimes you think, well, they don't want to hear it, or they just blow me off or whatever. You do not know what's going on in their mind. You do not know what the Holy Spirit will do with the words you give. I have been called in over the years, even before I was a pastor, to some of the hardest, meanest old dogs in this county to come see them before they died. And there's one thing I learned from trusting Jesus and going by faith is that no one is too tough for God. No one is too tough for God. We think, and I've shared with y'all about a half-brother I had, and I never witnessed to him because I thought, God can't touch him. He's too far gone. And that was a terrible mistake. I'll never make that mistake again because no one is too tough for God. And he has given us some. He didn't give pastors a ministry of reconciliation. That's not what that says. He has committed to us. Who's us? Us and everyone. The word of reconciliation. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Are you trying to reconcile people to Jesus? If you're not, you're missing it. And this church is missing it if we're not. And there's many ways to do it. You just have to be obedient. You have to be obedient. Have you been crucified with Christ? Have you been crucified with Christ? Let's pray. Worship team, would you come? He has given you the ministry of reconciliation. He's given you the ministry of reconciliation. You might say, well, I don't know the Bible, or what if they ask me questions? Listen to me. Stop making excuses and start trusting Jesus. He has given you a ministry of reconciliation, and he doesn't give it to you and not give you ability and equip you to use it. But you have a part. You have a part, and your part is called the Word. He says he's given you the Word of reconciliation. You see, along with the ministry of bringing people to Christ, you have to have the Word. The Word is what brings them to Jesus, not you. So what are you doing with what he's given you? What are you doing with what he's given you? He's given you the ministry of reconciliation. He's given you the word of reconciliation. Are you wasting it? Are you wasting it? Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. I come against any foul demonic spirit in this place that would sow a word of doubt, a thought of doubt in this place. I pray over this place in the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, we receive your word today. Lord, by faith, we trust you. By faith, we believe you. And by faith, we receive Jesus Christ. Lord, help each one of us to die today. Help each one of us to die today. Die to self. Die to the things that distract us. Die to the things that hold us back. God, open our hearts, open our minds to your word that's truth and life. Move and have your way in this place today, Lord. Touch hearts, change mindsets. Break the ties of bondage. Break the ties that bind. Break a spirit of religion. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God, I pray that you unleash your church to this ministry of reconciliation. That this church would be a church that's helping build the kingdom, not sitting back and watching, but engaging in your word, engaging with your spirit, and engaging in the ministry of reconciliation, of bringing others to Christ. God, move and have your way in this place today. Touch, change. Recreate like only you can do. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new with Jesus. Lord, help us to let go of the old, step into the new with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.